garçon yon sel fom. Le ou a bom dis ki machin nan som. We a...
90.3 till infinity. CQT is launching our 2022 funding drive, and we need your donations to keep chilling on the airwaves. Our community has been through.
CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT,
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
It's time to take sampling to a whole new level. Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rivers. My name is Howard Carr, and the co-host of the show,
Steve Sanka,
and along with the rest of the crew, DJ Nicholas. Special guest DJ with the news,
Brian Amplified.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms on CKUT 90.3 FM, People's Station.
Every night just before you sleep, will you pray the Lord my soul to keep safe and sound until I'm home again. Tell the kids that I won't be long. Will you ask the Lord to keep them strong, safe and sound until I'm
again. So say a prayer.
Gone. Yes, you will, and I'll be all alone. you're nowhere to be found. But I will be around, so slow down, girl. You're moving much too fast, slow down, girl. How long it's gonna last, slow down, girl. Or you will become a thing of the past. Think that I don't notice the way you look at me from the corner of your eyes. You know we both agree. Or is it that you're shy? Is that the reason why? 'Cause when I turn my back you smile. Why won't you linger for a while? Slow down, girl. You're moving much too fast. Slow down. Or you will become a thing of the past. Oh, a thing of the past. Now I am a patient man, but I cannot wait forever. We should be together, no longer strangers. Your friends are ready to leave. All on the streets, how you feel about me? Time for us to meet. Slow down, girl. You're moving much too fast. Slow down, girl. How long it's gonna last? Slow down, girl. You will become a thing of the past.
Montreal, a pleasant good afternoon to you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another chapter of West Indian Rhythms, your Caribbean community radio program. We come your way every Saturday, 4 until 7 p.m. With everything you can think of, even the cricket bat, okay? And always remember, if you have anything for your community, don't be afraid. This is why we're here. This is why West Indian Rhythms has been here for 30-odd years. Because we don't just believe in a music thing. If you want music thing, everybody can do that in their house. We bring you a radio program. You're listening to Derek Harriott's song. We're going all the way back to the 70s. Skin to Skin. Baby, You're the Most. Opened the show with a voice that stood out whenever he sang. Vic Taylor, Say a Prayer. And Mr. Ken Lazarus, No More Heartaches. And the Blues Busters, Soon You Will Be Gone. And Mr. Barry Biggs. And they all have something in common with my guest at 4:30. They all sang with the big band, of course. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Byron Lee and his Dragonaires. My phone is going crazy. I don't know why people choose to call at 4 o'clock, 4:15. It's hard. I'm distracted, really. So want to say hello to Mr. Greg Thomas, Dr. Greg Thomas, all the way in beautiful Jamaica. As a matter of fact, I had a chance of speaking to him this week. And it was nice to hear him. Greg Thomas, as I was saying, yes, what was I saying? Okay, it's our funding drive, all right? It starts today, but I completely had forgotten. So what we're going to do is... I'll read it after, okay? As I was saying, yes, it's our funding drive, so we want you to stick with us. And whatever you want to give, it's your prerogative. We're not here to force you or make you feel uncomfortable about that. It's the law, because of the fact that if we sell ads, we cannot sell it at no big figure like a private radio station. We are a public radio station, so this is why we have the funding drive. All right, so CKUT's funding drive. 17 minutes past the hour, 4 o'clock, and what can I tell you about? Did you see that accident with the golfers? All 9 people died because they had a 13-year-old kid driving the wagon. Now, I don't know if we can actually blame this all this whole thing on the kid, because what happened, his tire blew out. This is why it's so important, folks. Please, you know, check your tires. Just take a look. Learn to check your tires. When you're passing by, just take a look and see how your tires are looking. And, you know, it's frightening, all right? It's frightening. What happened? The tire blew out and it dragged him into the opposite lane. All 9 of them died. I cried when I saw that. It's frightening. This world is really undergoing some suffering here, boy. I don't understand. But that is life. Gonna play something my friend Ajamo just sent to me, and I think it's so nice. I'm gonna try and play it, all right? So many things I'm doing, bear with me, all right, folks?
But the thief of your soul comes only to steal, kill, and destroy you of your joy, your destiny, and the hope of eternal life.
Lord, you lift me up from the rubble, and you place me on solid ground. Though I'm weak, but you make me feel so strong. Even though I may not be worthy of your mercies and saving grace, you're still standing by with an outstretched hand. You call me because only you know my heart. You know my heart. You call me. Now it's time for a brand new start. Hold me, Jesus, hold me. Jesus, hold me, hold me, hold me. Hold me, Jesus, hold me, hold me, hold me. I
cause I'm born again, again, again. Oh yes, I'm born again, again. Oh Lord, I got sick and tired of running, being afraid of what I don't know. In my sinful state, I was dying slow. All the bright lights and all the glamour, all the places I used to go, I got no desire to go no more. You call me because only you know my heart. You know my heart. You call me. Now it's time to make that new start. No stopping now. Hold me, Jesus, hold me. Hold me, hold me. Hold me, Jesus, hold me. Hold me, hold me. Hold me, Jesus, hold me. Hold me, hold me. Have your way and use me, because I'm born again, again, again. Another child is born again. Wash out my soul in the water. Cleanse up my soul in the water. Make me whole in the water. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. In this time of wars and confusion, it is clear that nobody knows what is waiting for us behind the doors. Hey! There's no doubt prophecy fulfilling, and the day of judgment is near. Like a thief in the night, you will appear. You call me because only you know my heart. You know my heart. Jesus, hold me, hold me, hold me. Hold me, Jesus, hold me, hold me, hold me. Hold me, Jesus, hold me, hold me, hold me. Have your way and use me, because I'm born again, again, again. Oh yes, I'm born again, again, again. A son is born again.
I am the door, he says, the pathway to salvation. He that enters by me shall go in and out and find pasture. Come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says the Lord. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, no, but that the world through him might be saved. For it is by love and for love of humanity that the Father sent his only Son, that the human experience can move from mortality to immortality. Hold fast to the treasure of life. What is that treasure, you ask? It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon him today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Hello, 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 hello. I'm hearing you guys. Drew, I'm hearing you. You have some mic open there. Anyhow, I'm going to play some commercials and then we'll get back to you.
COVID-19 doesn't protect you from this. Or this.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Not this. This.
And it's looking like rain, rain, and more rain for this weekend.
This. Or even this.
Your call is important to us. Please hold.
But being vaccinated does protect you from the virus. Vaccination is still your best form of protection. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
It's a long, long life.
I don't know how to get rid of those two guys. Big conversation going on there. He's on.
The sound of this doorbell may seem pretty ordinary to you, until you realize that it's Graham, who's 75 years old and still delivering meals to people in need in his neighborhood. And that for many of them, it's the most comforting sound they'll hear all day. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
From helmets to sunscreen, we do everything we can to keep our kids safe. So how can the COVID-19 vaccine help protect them? COVID-19 vaccines can help keep children safe from severe illness and potential long-term effects of the virus. Millions of children in Canada and around the world have already been safely vaccinated. Help protect your child. Book their appointment at canada.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Government of Canada.
The sound of this doorbell may seem pretty ordinary to you, until you realize that it's Graham, who's 75 years old and still delivering meals to people in need in his neighborhood. And that for many of them, it's the most comforting sound they'll hear all day. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Boost your business's bottom line by adopting new digital strategies and technologies. Get access to expert advice and apply for up to $15,000 in grants at canada.ca/digital-adoption. A message from the Government of Canada.
Hi, I'm Latoya Belfon, and on behalf of myself and Chesanne Gregory, we are pleased and eager to have you parents, educators, and writers join us online March 26th at 1 p.m. for the International Empowered Women in Lit Virtual Summit. The summit will be hosted by Onisha Perret-Lewis and Afrin Awar of the Quebec Writers Foundation. This summit will feature seven panelists of authors, poets, educators, and community activists who will discuss their views and offer suggestions on breaking the bias in children with diverse literature. That's right. How can the books that our youth read offer more diverse images and themes? To register and attend, log on to Crowdcast or use their app and search Women in Lit. That's Empowered Women in Lit International Virtual Summit, Saturday, March 26th at 1 p.m. online at Crowdcast. For more information, email empoweredwomeninlit@gmail.com. See you there.
My darling, coming up this week on the Zoom, a very special guest who comes from an era when Jamaica was known for its great singers and entertainers. Because of his talent, he has toured the world and back to Jamaica. But we're jumping the gun. Let's get to know a little bit about the best dressed on stage entertainer that we ever had coming out of Jamaica, Mr. Tony Gregory. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Howard. How are you doing, man?
I'm not doing as good as you. Look at that tan. Brother, send me some of that sunshine.
Yeah, well, I'm always in the garden, you know. That's it.
Well, that's nice. The best dressed on stage, Mr. Tony Gregory, as I said before. Welcome to the Zoom of CKUT. You know, I opened with the song
glad
that you're listening
to. Here, man.
Yes, welcome, my friend. I opened with a song I think It's a little bit scratchy, but folks, for those of you who are not familiar, this is how this record is coming from the 60s. And it was done around 1964, I think.
Oh, actually, 63.
63.
63. At the end of 63, yes.
The name of the song is My Darling. And as a young guy, I always wanted to sing this song. Not that I was good at anything named singing, but I wanted to try because I love the bridge. Who wrote that song?
I wrote it.
Whoa. He needs to re-record this over, my friend.
I did.
Ah, in a reggae version?
Yes.
All right, we're going to see.
It's actually on my new album that is coming out pretty soon.
Ah, that's nice.
I thought I'd do it all over again, and it turned out pretty well.
So I was going to ask you to tell me the story behind this song.
Oh, you know, it was, I was with Byron Lee and the Dragonaires between 1960 and 1963.
Right.
We did a single before, which was called Baby, which I wrote as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the band, and it got played and was okay. This was in 1960. So I wanted to do another 45. And Byron actually wasn't interested, or he was very busy doing other things. And we also ended up touring for the first time down the West Indies. So when I came back, I asked him again, why don't we do another single? And he still wasn't interested. So then I went out on the loop and got a backer and wrote this song and recorded it myself. Mm. Went into the studio and took three wonderful musicians, Leslie Butler,
wow.
Steve on piano, Steve Dawes on bass, and Carl McLeod, who you know worked quite a lot with Ernie Ranglin
right.
on drums.
Right.
And we recorded a song. And then I made my own label. It was called Rainbow. And I decided to put it out. And of course, it got immediate lots of plays on the radio.
Let's just put it this way. It was a massive hit in Jamaica at the time.
let's just
say that, all right? Now, I want to know, you went out and you did all of this. How old a guy were you then, if you don't mind me asking?
I mean,
17. Wow. You know, now that we have opened that door, I want to ask you, which school did you attend in Jamaica?
Prior to that, in the 50s, I mean, I spent an early part of my life in the Alpha Boys School,
mm-hmm.
where I actually learned. You know, I got a scholarship from the school to go outside and to a special school, Boys Choir School, where I studied music and theory, and that really helped a lot.
Folks, I don't want to cut across, but I have to give that school that he mentioned, because I used to walk through the back of Alpha as a young man coming from Calabar Elementary to Vineyardtown, right? And we could hear the music. Alpha Academy has put out some of our greatest musicians. I'm talking to one here now. But you name it. All the greats came from Alpha Music. It's not a music school. It was just a school that catered. They had a nun there with a little DJ, with a little disco.
Sister Ignatius.
Oh, yes. So you see, I'm not lying. Sister Ignatius had the pleasure of meeting her, and she came to Calabar Elementary School to do some discussion amongst for music. But I was too much into my soccer, so I wasn't interested in that. But we have to give Alpha props, because believe you me, as I said, you name it, they came from Alpha. Now, I want to just jump into this. So at what age did you really start singing? You know, when I said, you know.
I went with the Alpha. I went to, on a Saturday, matinee at Caribbean Cinema. You know, there was all schools met on this Saturday. They got this opportunity to go and see two films, you know, a double, call it in those days, a double bill. Okay.
Yes.
And in the middle of it, there was a little thing called Opportunity
Knox
Power. And this was done by the late Vera Johns.
Yes.
Okay. And he wanted people from the school, you know, who could come up and sing or perform or do whatever. And there was only one piano player up there, and it was Frankie Bonito.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I was about, I think I was about 9 or 8 at the time. Can't even remember what year that was now. But I think, yes, I was about 8. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up. Of course, you know, the boys in the school pushed me to go up to sing. I really didn't really want it, but reluctantly I went up. And the first song, I mean, there were others, of course, from the other schools. But then I went up and sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Mm.
That's the very first time I ever sang a song on my own. And I chose that song. And I won the first prize.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
which was a box of chocolates, you know, roses, chocolates.
Compliments of Lanaman's sweetie place, whatever it was at the time.
Yes, yes. It's English thing. But, you know, of course, I think I got one chocolate out of it because, of course, you had to give it to the rest of the school.
You had to share, yes. So that was your first big inspirational show, singing at the Caribbean Theatre, beautiful theatre. Continuing with that, who inspired you to sing? Which artist? Was it somebody in the music business?
It wasn't like that in those days. You remember, I was in Alpha, you know. We really didn't have that much access to radio to listen to the outside world. We get a little bit of it, but it really wasn't. It's what you learn in the school, you know. And but I just love music. I was hitting my knees and you know, doing all sorts of things whenever I hear a song, you know.
Yes.
And I liked singing very early, and you know, I was singing in the school. And then they said, why don't you, you know, do this exam? And that is what I did, this exam to go to the school on the outside. Run by a priest, Father James Healy.
Right.
And that was incredible. You know, I got the scholarship. So I was able to go out along with maybe another 8 other students, you know, to go out to this special school where we studied voice training and, you know, music theory. And I also studied the piano there as well because I like playing piano, you know.
You know,
I love the instrument.
Go ahead, Tony. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and then that was it, you know. That is where it all started.
Nice.
So I was able as a choir boy then in this particular school because we worked at the cathedral choir, at the cathedral. We did all the big things that were happening, you know, weddings and all that sort of thing. And,
right.
And of course, masses. But then we also did performances outside, you know, we would go on the North Coast. The father would take us on the North Coast, you know, to some hotels for us to perform. And we were doing very nice songs, you know.
Mm-hmm. So In the 60s, you when you finished school and all
this
that.
This was in the 50s, you know. This was in the 50s.
50s? Well, yeah, no. Yeah, that part of it, yes. But no, in the 60s, okay. When you were finished with school, who taught you them stage movements then? I mean, I saw you at Capri Tit.
That is something you develop on your own, you know. I mean, that developed over a while, you know. Depends on the songs, but I was very early in doing my own songs. I would write songs, you know, just sing along my own tunes, you know. But at the same time, I were also doing songs that we heard coming out of America.
Right.
And, you know, that was a great time, and I got a chance to do Ver Jans because he invited me to do. He had a thing going around where you would be performing, also doing the same thing in between films, but this was now adult, you know, things like at the Palace Theatre and Majestic and all those places. So he took that around and then gave me a chance to join. And this was the area now where you had to now really, because you're singing now really properly against really good singers and good artists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were all amateurs. Of course, you know, you had a chance to win things, you know, £2. So my first thing was £1, which again, you know, it was a thing like they would line you up on stage. The same thing like what they do at the Apollo,
mm-hmm.
you know. It would line you up on stage after you did your performances and all that. And then he would go and hit everyone at the back of their head. And then the audience would be the one who would choose the singer.
The winner. Right, you know? Right. Yes.
Or the second and then the first. You know?
Right. I mean, it was you're on your way up doing your thing. Now, when you're in the 60s, you were with Byron for a while. And let me see if I can start up a little thing here. And this one. This is Only a Fool Breaks His Own Heart. I want you to tell me the story about this.
Long after. Why do I keep fooling myself?
Let's give a listen to him.
When I know you love someone else, only a fool breaks his own heart. Now I pretend that I don't see when you walk with him down the street. Only a fool breaks his old heart. Now I have to admit it, though it hurts me so, girl, I can't forget it. If I'm a man, I'll let you go. In trying to hang on,
oh boy,
to a love already gone. Only a fool breaks his own heart.
Beautiful song. Tell me about this song, because you know how many hearts were broken in Jamaica when this song came out.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Trust me.
You know, during this period, you know, I spent quite a lot of time. After 1963, I left Byron, and that's when My Darling came out.
Mm.
After that, I then joined Studio One.
Oh, Coxon, yes.
So we missed out on that. Studio One, you see. And with Studio One, I did Baby Come On Home, which was a massive as well. And I also did Your Mind, which was the very first time Marcia Griffiths ever recorded. Well, she recorded song, but the first time she ever came out with a single. And we did that together. And After that, I did an in 1965, I did another song, another 45. And then I went on tour with Carlos Malcolm. It's another band.
Yes, big band. One of the best bands ever to come out of Jamaica. Afro-Jamaican
rhythms.
Yes. Huh? I know, I said one of the best bands ever to come out of Jamaica.
Yes, yes. Very, very good. Mm-hmm. Very great musicians. We went on tour in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
While I was in the Bahamas, this was 1966, we had already done a tour down the West Indies, down in South America and all. But in 66, we decided to do, or he decided to take us to the Bahamas. And we were in Freeport. And I heard this song. It was originally done by Arthur Prysock.
Mm-hmm. Again.
And I heard, and I said, but you know, I could sing this song, you know? I mean, you know, I found it a really strong song. So on my return to Jamaica, I went straight to Coxon, mm-hmm. you know, Stadod at, you know, at Studio One. And I said to him, you know, I would love to do this song, you know, this is a good song. And he said, you know, it's all right. He said, and I said, yes, give me a chance. And I said, I'll pick my musician. So I picked Jackie Me Too. And that's the one you heard playing Only a Fool. And a few other musicians, you know. And we went into the studio there. And in fact, I don't think Mr. Dodd wasn't there. So he was not on the controls. There was another fellow doing it, you know, while we recorded the track. So, and then when he heard it, he said, oh, that's a nice, it really came out good. And then he did the mix, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put it out. And of course, that was history. Mm. Only a Fool.
Only a Fool Breaks His Own Heart. Now, you talk about touring. I didn't want to get into that too quickly, but you've been... Tell me, because when I came to Canada, I saw this big board downtown. Tony Gregory appearing tonight at a club, I think it's called Le Coq d'Or or something, on Yonge Street. What year was that?
You know, touring, you know, I mean, I was touring long before that. I mean, my first tour was with Byron Lee in 1963, where we went down the islands and went as far as Guyana, you know, and it got me. It was like a bug, you know. So then I went back on my own because I'd left Byron, you know, after this, My Darling.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't too happy about that I had some success with that.
Right.
So I left and, well, that's all right. And I left and went down. I remember going on top of a ship, you know, one of these ships that carry bananas and things and goods that goes fly from. That's where I didn't fly this time. I went on top of a ship and I was on the deck. I remember how bad it is. And that was my first tour. And I started off in Antigua.
Individually, you alone are with your musicians.
No, just me alone.
Damn, you're a brave boy.
I went searching, and you know, I was like that, and I ended up meeting promoters who had saw me when I was with Byron Lee the year before, and so it made it much easier for me to get work, and you know, because I did very well actually with Byron Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was much tougher. So I went very far. I went as far as Argentina. I went all the way down, all these other countries I've never been to before. I mean, you know.
Wow.
And, yes. I'm working in clubs, you know, mostly
yes,
clubs.
Yes, yes. So tell me about the Toronto run.
The what?
Toronto. Tell me about Toronto, because
Toronto is much later. Toronto is after Only a Fool Breaks His Own Heart. Oh. Because I came to, I was married to a Canadian, you know, down here. That was my first wife.
Okay. Busy guy.
And so I got a deal in America with MGM.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there. It didn't really work out, the deal, because the way it was done those days, but it's a long story. But anyway, I said, so let us move up to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up, she wanted to go up to her, to see her father and all that. So we ended up in, but we were, at the same time, we were breaking up. So we broke up as soon as we got to Canada, to Toronto.
Right. So how was Toronto?
That's the personal thing. So Toronto was 66 to 67. And then 68, I left Canada. And then while I was in Canada, I was working all over the place as well.
Right.
Clubs again.
Right.
The old club scene, you know. And I left in 68 because you remember Count Prince Miller, the late Count Prince Miller?
I know Count Prince Miller, yes.
Okay. Well, Count Prince Miller was working with a band and they broke up. It was Jimmy James and the Vagabonds
and
in
the Vagabonds.
London.
Yes.
Okay, Jimmy James decided to go on his own and the Vagabonds broke up. And so Count was looking for a vocalist or to start a band. So I spoke with him and he said, "Hey man, come on over." So I went to London. That's my step to Europe now.
Right.
Work with the band for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
running all over the place, touring everywhere. You know, it was exciting. Didn't make much money, but it was exciting, you know. Was good experience, you know.
That would have been my next question.
No. Some things you don't get money, you know.
Right.
Some things you don't make money. You just survive.
So you did all of Europe with Count Prince Miller. But
No. Only England. That was only 1968.
Oh. So at what point now?
I came back to Canada. Uh-huh. Came back to Canada, and I was there until 1970.
Ah.
Then I left Canada and came to Jamaica only for a few months and then went back to London again.
Man.
This time I started to record again.
Ah.
Because during the period of 66 to 70, I wasn't recording anything. So 1971, when I arrived in London, again, I saw Count and there was he had a track and he said, "Hey, you know, I think you could do," not my kind of thing. It was called Bouncing All Over the World. And, and I did it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it matched me because I was bouncing all over the world.
That's why I laughed. I didn't want to say it, but yes. So you did that for Count Prince Miller.
Yeah, no, not for Count. He was a producer.
Okay.
Yes, but it was for Trojan Records.
Oh yeah, Trojan
which
label.
Was,
yeah.
Yes, Trojan. Okay. It got a lot of airplay. But I wrote the B-side of it. You know, it was just this one song and I wrote the B-side.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with that was when I got the you know, payments for whatever what was sold, which it didn't do too well, I got far much more for the B-side because it was my song and from the publishing. And that's actually where the whole thing started.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I did another song for Trojan in 71 that came out in 72. Then I had to go to Europe now, first of all to Germany to do some promotional stuff with this song. That's it.
But tell me,
once I hit Europe, that was it.
You ever become, you don't sound like it, but do you, did you ever become discouraged with these shady promoters and shady club owners and all that? Did it ever discourage
you
from singing?
I always say karma works, you know, I mean, and it really does. Karma really does work. So, you know, you first of all have to believe in yourself, regardless of what's going on. You know, you have to be determined. And when one door closes, another one will open. Or when one window closes, another one will open. And if you have this attitude, then you will move forward, regardless of what. Because when I went to Germany, you know, I met some, you know, the people from the record companies that I met,
mm-hmm.
just by doing promotional shows, they needed material, they needed producers, you know, and I had loads of songs.
Mm.
And also, how it started is that I had the song in English, but they did subtitles or sub lyrics for a particular singer in that particular country.
Mm-hmm.
So I got right in there. Then I started producing as well immediately and producing local people, you know, in Germany and, you know, in Belgium and all that type of thing.
Did you speak the language in any of these countries? How did you get along?
Took some time, but I learned a few languages. I do speak fluent German and Italian. Oh. And a and Dutch, Holland, you know, I do that. The others are in between there. But you have to.
I respect
when you get contracts. When you get contracts, they're all in their own language.
I know. That's why I'm really asking you.
Yeah. So you know you have to go and sort it out.
All right,
and work on what's in the contracts.
I want to play a song that you're noted for. All right. And I want you to tell me, how did this song come about?
Gypsy, you turn on my love light, and whatever you want now, tonight is the night. You got me the way that you want me. Love me tonight.
I'm going to get in the middle of this song here. Gypsy. Now tell us a little bit about, was one of these songs that you traveled on? Because even now you go back to Jamaica, I see you on a stage show there singing Gypsy. This song has been with you for how many years? Oh, it's been all over the world with you?
I actually released that song in 1980. Oh, you know, every project has a story.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear the story.
This one is a very interesting story because, again in Germany, there was this German fella who had a million seller and he wanted a follow-up. He wanted some so he could follow up, you know. And he was with BMG, which, as you know, BMG is really a German company, you know. But most people don't really know that, but it is a German company.
Mm-hmm.
And they had asked me to, this singer had asked me to write some songs.
Right.
But, you know, I play most instruments myself. So, you know, what I did is that I went into, they have their own studio at BMG in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the studio and I put down about, I can't remember, I think 4 or 5 songs.
Right.
And one of them was Gypsy Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And in the office, when they played the songs back, everyone was into Gypsy Girl. Unfortunately, the singer couldn't sing the song. He just he just couldn't get the feeling. He couldn't do anything with it. He recorded another song, which I did, which was called It's All Right With Me. And really sad. So they saw also other people recording the song. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, German, you know, and in other languages, you know. So I had this demo with me because I had the demo.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what you hear, this song is really a demo. It was not proper production.
Whoa.
It was a demo to present the song.
Right.
You see? I took it, you know, I was in 1980, I came to Jamaica to visit, and I, for a couple of weeks, and I had this thing with me, this demo, and I took it to Byron Lee. He wasn't around, his son was.
Right.
And I said, no, you know, I think this could do something in Jamaica, just as it was, you know? And he said to me, no way, this could never happen in Jamaica.
Hmm.
Never. Mm-mm. So then I said, okay, I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to see Byron because he wasn't around. So I went to his brother, Neville Lee. With Sonic Sounds.
Yes.
So I went to Dynamics, I went to Sonic Sounds, and he said, no way. It's a nice song, but you know, the way what's going on in Jamaica and the type of, you know, and this could never, you know, do anything. So what I did, I took a chance again. I said, well, why don't you release the song? I will take care of the cost, you know, like, you know, the pressing and the this and that,
right,
you know, and,
right.
And you get it on the radio and all that, and we'll see what happens, you know? So we made an agreement there. So I went back. I left it there. I went back. Well, I've made a copy, you know. I went back and back to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2 weeks, he called me and he said, you can't believe what's going on. I said, what's going on? He said, they're playing this thing on the radio, which he did. He put them to the radio to see how the reaction was.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was calling in every 5 minutes, every program. Wanted to hear the song or wanted to make requests for this song.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew out of proportion.